Ona Munson invites you to CBS Open House. Yes, welcome to CBS Open House. Your hostess, Ona Munson, invites you to meet Anita Ellis, our open house singer, Buddy Carlton and his orchestra. And Ona's guests today, Howard Culver, who plays Hack Taggart on Lady of the Press, and actress Isabel Jewell, currently in Carlton Morse's I Love a Mystery series. Incidentally, we'll interrupt this program for any late news developments. It's CBS Open House, and here coming to meet you is your hostess, Ona Munson.
Thank you, Jay Stewart. Hello, everybody. Well, we swing wide our open house door again and welcome in lovely Isabel Jewell, motion picture actress, who is now one of our regular CBS actresses and doing a swell job on Carlton Morse's I Love a Mystery series. And representing the masculine department, Howard Culver, who plays Hack Taggart on Lady of the Press. And, of course, we have with us again lovely Anita Ellis, our open house songster, and Bud Carlton with his men of music. But now, down the reception line we go right to Howard Culver. One of the shows that has caught on in a big way over CBS is the exciting serial Lady of the Press, heard at 4 o'clock Monday through Friday. Howard, I'm going to do a Lady of the Press job on you. Will you please come out from behind the role of Hack Taggart and let us have the facts about Howard Culver?
Ona, I feel exactly as I did the other day when they took my beard off. Just like a bare fact.
Oh, that's right. You were our famous bearded actor, weren't you? Up until the other day, our young and handsome Howard possessed a neat Van Dyke, which rivaled even Monty Woolley's famous beard. How did you come to shave it off, Howard?
Well, summer's on its way. The weatherman promises. And then, after all, people are cutting down on everything these days. Or maybe it has to do with the fact that I'm a frustrated doctor. Doctors were always pictured with Van Dykes, you know.
And you wanted to be a doctor?
Yes, Jay. I had fairly definite plans to study medicine. But I accidentally got into radio and thought maybe entertainment might be pretty good medicine for a lot of things, too, so I just stayed with it.
You say you got into radio accidentally. How did it happen?
Well, while I was in high school, there was a Boys' Week celebration here in Los Angeles, and several boys in the Players' Club were chosen to enact a radio play over the air in honor of the week. I was one of the fellows, and True Boardman was director of the play.
Well, then True Boardman discovered you, huh?
Well, I guess you might say that. True, that, you know, True Boardman, he's probably written more good radio plays than almost any other writer. He liked my work on that particular show and called me after that for professional jobs.
Well, weren't you in San Francisco radio for a while?
Mm-hmm. I jumped around from here to there, working some of the time. But I had to do a lot of side work to support myself in radio, for a while anyway.
Hard times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hard going sometimes. Although you may think one of my side jobs is pretty soft.
Really? Such as?
Well, once I was a night watchman in a mattress factory.
Oh, night watchman in a mattress factory. Well, that was a soft job.
I was, too. And I was their very best advertisement.
That could be classified as a dream job, huh?
Yes, it could. And besides that, it gave me plenty of time to work on my dialects. But speaking of dream jobs, I made a nightmare out of one of them. I was doing a radio show with a cast of only two other people. All of us were doing several parts. In fact, I was playing five roles on it. And I'd finished another radio show at 4 p.m. and was scheduled to do this one at 8:30 that evening. So to kill time between, I went to a movie. I fell asleep and dreamed through a double feature and part of the first feature over again.
Now, don't tell me you missed your show altogether.
Altogether.
Oh.
The producer had called the hospitals and the police and the Bureau of Missing Persons. When they couldn't find me, they had to cancel the show, and as much as I was practically half of the cast with my five voices all sleeping in a movie.
Too bad you didn't snore in five voices, Howard. It might have saved the day.
Yes, I might have had a few ushers rushing me out in time for the broadcast.
Tell me, are you a native of California, Howard?
Well, not quite, Ona. I was born in Colorado. My dad was a scientific farmer there, but the family moved to California when I was a year and a half old.
Say, Howard, I hear you've got quite a collection of knives.
Yes, Jay, that's my hobby. I started out with a penknife when I was a kid, I guess. I had more penknives than any of the other kids in the neighborhood, and then I began reading about the knives, South American machete, the Philippine bolo, the Moro crease, and all the others. The other famous weapon knives of, well, almost any country you can think of, so I began collecting them. From China, Persia, everywhere.
You didn't use one of those fancy knives to cut your beard off the other day, did you?
No. No, I make a point of keeping all my knives with dull edges. Safety measures, you know, young child around the house. And speaking of safety measures, I'd better get going to my rehearsal for tomorrow's show.
Well, Howard, you are one of the top CBS actors, and we're very happy to have added your name to our guest book here at Open House. And we do enjoy catching your swell performances as Hap Taggart on The Lady of the Press.
Thank you, Ona.
So we'll let you dash, but reluctantly. Come back again, won't you?
Anytime. With Beard or without?
Oh, we won't wait that long to invite you again, Howard. And now, Anita Ellis, our charming singer of songs, has a tune for us. What's on the program, Jay?
It's That Old Feeling.
Thank you, Anita. And now, Jay, comes the time to review some of those fine programs to be heard this week over CBS stations up and down the coast. Our CBS people seem to be taking all of the awards that are being given out this year. Edward R. Murrow, who reports from London on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. over KNX, has just won the 1944 award of the National Headliners Club. This established a record for CBS as the only network to be honored in each of the 10 years since the beginning of the award.
Well, what did Murrow win it for? His news broadcasts in general or for something specific?
Something very special. It was for his Orchestrated Hell broadcast when he described a flight as an observer on a bombing run to Berlin last December.
Well, that's the second one he's won from the same organization, too. He's getting in a class with Norman Corwin, gathering in all the awards.
Yes, and don't forget to listen to Columbia Presents Corwin tomorrow night at 7. Norman's doing his final episode of the literary trilogy.
Let's see, this one will be on Walt Whitman, won't it?
Yes, with Charles Laughton in the starring role. Incidentally, did you know that the judges have been named for the contest of This Is My Story show heard on Saturday nights at 6?
Mm-hmm. I heard that Hedda Hopper and Barbara Stanwyck and director Leo McCary were to be the judges.
That's right. And they'll select the best real-life story submitted for dramatization on the show, and a $1,000 award will be given for the best one that is done on the first 13-week period of the show.
Well, I'd say they're pretty sharp judges, all right. Say, Ona, I just saw Georgia Gibbs and Roy Bargy out in the hall, and they tell me that they just got back from doing the show at El Toro, the Marine base, along with Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore. And I guess they had a lot of fun on the trip. But they're back here now in Columbia Square getting their Jimmy Durante, Gary Moore show all set for broadcast Friday night at 7, which, of course, will be fun, too.
Yes, I saw Georgia in her suntan. Well, CBS Open House moves along, and it's time for Bud Carlton and his orchestra to make a contribution. This time, it's a spring medley of Suddenly It's Spring, and Spring Will Be a Little Late This Year. day, I stumbled in on a rehearsal of I Love a Mystery, and there was Isabel Jewell playing Eve in The Thing Wouldn't Die, which you hear every night at 8 o'clock. It's quite unusual for Carlton Morse, the writer of I Love a Mystery, to cast movie personalities in his radio productions. He usually prefers regular radio actors and seldom goes out of this circle to fill a part. But Isabel Jewell is such a splendid actress in a neurotic role, such as she's currently playing in I Love a Mystery, that Carlton put her into the role. Isabel, it's good to see you around.
And it gives me a wonderful opportunity to, well, sustain a characterization over a period of time.
Well, you've certainly had some very colorful movie roles in your career, Isabel. Quite a comprehensive variety, I should say.
Well, yes, but most of them have been pretty bad girls. And me, a former schoolteacher, too. But the girl I'm doing on I Love a Mystery is the youngest character ingenue I've ever played, with the exception of the seamstress in The Tale of Two Cities.
That was a great role, Isabel. Everyone talked about your work in that picture. What were some of your other pictures? I remember Lost Horizon, of course.
Well, let's see. There were Marked Woman and Ceiling Zero and Counselor at Law.
Didn't you do the stage version as well as the movie version of Counselor at Law?
Yes, I played it with Otto Kruger on the stage and with John Barrymore in the movie.
Say, Isabel, what was that remark you made about being a schoolteacher?
Well, I don't tell it very often, but honestly, Jay, it's a fact. I went to Hamilton College for Women in Lexington, Kentucky, and then when I went on to the University of Kentucky, I doubled at Hamilton teaching Cicero.
Isabel, how on earth did you become proficient in Latin of all subjects? It's so terribly difficult for most people, and besides, beauty and brains aren't supposed to go together.
Well, perhaps my father influenced me a bit, because he was a real Latin scholar. My father's a doctor, Dr. Lee Jewell of Shoshone, Wyoming, and frankly, he's been written up in so many medical journals that I've got a long way to go before I can ever match his clippings.
Oh, really? How's that?
Well, I'm pretty proud of my daddy's work, Jay, so I can rattle on and on about it, because it's really something to talk about. He discovered a highly successful treatment for Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and as a result, he reduced the mortality of the disease from about 100 to 3%. I think that's pretty wonderful, don't you?
From 100% down to 3%. Well, that really is wonderful, Isabel. So there's more than one star in your family. You've been away from Hollywood for quite a while, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. I started out to do a 12-week personal appearance tour, and I ended up by playing 37 weeks.
Mm.
And then I did some summer stock on the Straw Hat Circuit in the East and did several plays. Flight to the West was one of them.
And didn't you play on Broadway, too?
Mm-hmm. I did Johnny 2x4.
How many pictures have you done in all, Isabel? Have you ever counted them?
Yes, I have, Ona, and it's quite a figure. I've played in 80 pictures.
Good heavens, 80? That's a lot of pictures.
Yes, it's quite a far cry from the day I joined the Harry Minturn Stock Company as a very inexperienced young actress.
Well, 80 pictures would testify to the success of that little inexperienced actress, I'd say. What are your current picture assignments?
Well, I seem to be going in for psychological murder dramas, Jay. I recently played in The Seventh Victim and The Leopard Man at RKO, and oh yes, out at Universal, I did a picture that hasn't been released yet. The Mary Monahans with Donald O'Connor. It was his last picture before he went into the Army.
Isabel, you mentioned a while ago that your home was in Shoshone, Wyoming. That makes you a real Westerner, doesn't it?
I guess by all rights, I should have been a cowgirl in pictures. But the vixen part seems to make more progress.
Yes, a vixen is always more exciting in a picture, at least for an actress. It seems to call for more acting.
Well, a good set of hysterics now and then always seem to go over on the screen.
And you're one of the experts at that, Isabel. But it's nice to have you here at Open House as yourself. And I just wish your fans could see that you're really not the bad girl you play so often. That, on the contrary, you're a very respectable young lady.
Well, thank you, Ona, for the opportunity to meet so many CBS listeners. And I hope they will listen to The Thing That Wouldn't Die on I Love a Mystery and hear my other self, the wicked Jewel.
Well, it was very pleasant having the nice Jewel with us today. And I hope you'll drop in again, will you?
Thank you, Ona. I will, and thank you so much.
And now it's Anita Ellis' time. What's the tune, Jay?
Tonight I Shall Sleep.
Smile on my face, as God. So please don't push me off this cloud. Sleep with a smile on my face.
Thank you, Anita. That was lovely. Jay, there's a new dramatic series on CBS that you'll want to mark down for a listen. It's called Service to the Front, and will be heard starting next Friday at 9:30 p.m.
Service to the Front, huh? Okay, that sounds interesting. You know, lots of shifting of programs are going on now that summer is here. Jack Carson's show is scheduled for a new time that all the listeners will want to know about. He'll be on at 6 o'clock Wednesday nights from now on.
6 o'clock Wednesday night, Jack Carson and his merry crew.
Right.
The Whistler gets a time change, too. It will be heard now on Sundays at 7:30 in the evening. So all of you Whistler fans, make a note about that new time to hear your favorite mystery thriller.
And you know, summer brings not only time changes in some of the favorite old shows, but introduces some dandy new ones. The Iced Coffee Time show got off to a good start last Friday with Charlie Ruggles as Master of Ceremonies, Zany Cass Daly and Carlos Ramirez, who sings in the best South American manner, and the Williams brothers, and they'll all be with the show through the season. That show is really loaded with talent.
Yes, and this Friday at 9 o'clock, child star Jane Powell and John Hodiak will guest star on the show. I thought another one of our new shows that was particularly good last week was The Doctor Fights, starring Raymond Massey.
Yes, and this week Mr. Massey will be the narrator in the dramatic adventure of The Doctor of the Alcan.
Right. And speaking of doctors, last week Dr. Christian awarded the $2,000 grand prize in their script contest. It went to James H. Boston of Cambridge, Massachusetts. And the grand prize story will be dramatized on the show this Wednesday night at 8:30.
And Ona, don't forget that tomorrow is designated CBS War Bond Day on the air. And I think we ought to mention that there'll be a round-the-clock effort on behalf of the Fifth War Loan Drive, with all programs contributing.
Yes, and the highlight of the day will be a special full-hour broadcast at 7:30 tomorrow night, titled The Land is Bright. It will be filled with well-known CBS stars such as Bob Hawke, Quipmaster of Thanks to the Yanks, Irene Beasley, star of The Neighbors Show, heard every Monday through Fridays at 12:15, and Phil Baker, MC of the Take It or Leave It Show, as well as many others. Pickups will be made from various sections of the country.
That sounds like an outstanding program.
Yes, and it will be heard for a full hour. But now comes the time to close CBS Open House until next Monday at 4:30, when we invite all of you back to meet Anita Ellis, Bud Carlton and his orchestra, two more CBS personalities. Until then, we'll be seeing you.
CBS Open House with your hostess, Ona Munson, will be heard again next Monday at 4:30. Until then, this is Jay Stewart saying, so long. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KNX, Los Angeles, the voice of Hollywood.